Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. In the next hour, Dr. Pat showcases some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Get ready to live life full out. Here's your host, Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. It's awesome having you all tune us in, turn us on. Many of you have heard me talk about this upcoming event that we are part of. It is absolutely phenomenal. It is called One the Event. And I just want to make sure everybody out there knows that you can participate, you can help us, you can be part of everything that's going on. All you need to do is go check it out. Go to www.onetheevent.org. That's onetheevent.org. We're going to be broadcasting live 3 days from University of Washington and Seattle Center and then Memorial Stage. I'm going to be doing a radical forgiveness segment at 3:10 on Sunday, September 11th. And this is not just for Seattleites. Everything that we're doing over the three-day period is going to be webcast free. This is a completely free event because a Seattle firefighter has a vision, and that vision is now coming to life. So join us and help us create the shift from fear to love, from hate to love, from resentment to love, from trauma to love. Today's show is about that as well. You know, I had Sherry Winston on the show not too long ago, and I said to her, you know, I think we should do a show on sexual trauma, abuse, and incest. And I don't usually do shows like that. Many of you know me. But this particular topic is right from the headlines of so many papers in so many cities, and people are living this. And this is what I want to say about this. You know, in this country in particular, this idea of sexual abuse and incest is usually underground, except when a celebrity comes out and talks about it and people get the courage to look at that. But if you look at what's going on worldwide, and let me just point to South Africa for a moment. 3 weeks ago, I heard the term corrective rape. Corrective rape. And I thought to myself, wow, what do we really know about sexual trauma? And what, if anything, are we doing to prevent, stop, and make sure that people worldwide are not abused? Sherry Winston is somebody that has been a sex teacher. Her classes, workshops for men and women are celebrated worldwide. Why? Because she knows how to deliver a message with humor, with comfort, and safety. She has a super perspective, which you're going to hear in a minute, holistic sexuality. But this is decades of experience, you know, certified nurse, midwife, and much more. She's joining us here today as the founder and executive director of the Center for the Intimate Arts. And you can find out more about that by going to www.intimateartscenter.com. Sherry, I want to thank you for joining me here today to talk about healing from sexual trauma and why this topic is so important. Thank you for joining the show.
Thanks so much for having me on again and for considering this an important enough topic to spend the whole show about. I'm so appreciative. It's, you know, trauma is something that might get touched on in an interview, but I just so appreciate you valuing the information enough to spend the whole show talking about it. Thank you.
Well, you know, isn't it interesting that, and let's just kind of make a reference here real quick in this country, that one of the top rated Nielsen rating television shows for, I don't know, how many years running is a show called Criminal Minds. And you know, in that show, it's not always about incest and child abuse, but certainly a good number of the shows that are produced, and some of the more highly rated shows on that and that particular television show have to do with incest, abuse, kidnapping, you name it. And they share some very startling and alarming statistics along the way that talk about what happens when a child or an adult are subject to this kind of abuse. So I wanted to ask you, from your experience and what you've learned, to give our listeners an idea of what sexual trauma is.
That's a great place to start, because it includes such a huge, wide range of experiences, and so many people are impacted by it. But the way I would define it is it's any experience involving any kind of sexuality, and that, so that includes incest, rape, molestation, non-consensual coerced sex, date rape, incest. The whole range of behaviors, and what makes what defines it as trauma is that it is an experience that's not only out of somebody's control, but then leaves them with a negative impact, with reactions and responses that they really don't want to have, but keep happening again. So it's the experience of the violation, the abuse of power, and then it's also the after effects of that. So to me, that's what sexual trauma is.
Now, I made a statement about sexual trauma abuse, and certainly some of this in some television shows are sensationalized. Sometimes in shows like Criminal Minds, it really points to the gravity of the situation. And let me ask you this question. Does television / media movies do us any good, or are they doing us more harm in this area?
That's a tough question. I do think, when I was growing up, we never heard about this. We never heard about, I never knew anyone who was incested. I never knew anyone who was raped. I mean, this just wasn't part of the dialogue of our culture. But it was happening. We now know most certainly it was happening. So I do think there's an advantage to having the information out there that these things do happen, and it does help people who've had the experiences feel less isolated. And at the same time, I don't know if it's actually giving people accurate information. I mean, there's certainly plenty of myths out there about sex in general that are culture and our media perpetrate, and in this topic probably more. But I think in general, just having that be part of our cultural conversation is probably a step in the right direction. So I'm going to go that mostly they do more harm than good in this department.
Let's talk about for a minute, and you know, I mean, when I said to you, I really think we should do a show on incest and sexual trauma, you know, what were your thoughts? Because I'm not sure that many people, you know, given your nature and what you do, I'm not sure many people ask you to do a show like this today.
It doesn't happen that often. Mostly people want to talk about the fun, yummy parts of sex, and I'm all for that, because I think part of being empowered about our sexuality is connecting to the pleasure of it. But I also think it's important, and no, I don't get to talk about it that much, and I think it's important because whatever people do see in the media, I suspect it doesn't go deep enough to really give people useful tools for discovering what can I do about it. All right, now it happened, and I'm living with the after effects, and it's not a good thing, but now what? And because a lot of people, I think, get pretty hopeless about that. So for me, I think the most important thing about this show is giving people who are survivors of these experiences some information, some support, some perspective that can help them on that healing journey.
So when we take a look at what's going on in the world and we take a look at this idea of sexual trauma and abuse, let's give some folks some statistics here to give, you know, to sort of lay the, you know, let's lay the groundwork here for why this is so important.
Well, for starters, the statistics are going to vary wildly depending on how you define things. So it's hard to pin down statistics because we're talking about such a range mm-hmm. of experiences. I mean, if you had one experience of having sex with somebody where you really didn't want to, but you kind of got coerced into it, is that the same as somebody who's experienced a violent rape? And is that the same as somebody who's been incested by a family member for years? And the answer is both yes and no. They're all something we can categorize as sexual trauma, but they're also different. So statistically speaking, like I said, these are pretty vague, but we can figure that somewhere around, so anywhere between 60 to 75%, maybe even 85% of women have experienced something in that realm. And this is can surprise people, but somewhere between 30, 40 to 50% of men have experienced something in that realm.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are huge numbers. In fact, you could figure the vast majority of people you know have experienced something in the realm of sexual trauma. And if we just narrow it down to child sexual abuse, to something that happens to a child at some point, the statistics are something like 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 6 boys have been sexually abused by the time they're 18 years old. So, and that's not counting all the other kinds of rapes and assaults that can happen to people after they're 18. So they're alarming statistics. And I can say from my years of clinical practice, I think that they're pretty realistic, unfortunately.
Well, and you know, I mean, this is such a huge issue that, you know, we actually have a National Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And I think it's April, or at least it was this year, to promote this level of awareness. Is it in fact true that most of the children or a large part of the children that are sexually abused know who their abuser is?
Almost all of them do. It's something like 85% know their abuser, which means it's a family member or, you know, a friend of the family, a teacher or a religious, you know, a priest or something. But generally speaking, the vast majority do. It's part of the pattern of childhood sexual abuse, which is more often that it's in the context of that relationship where an abuser befriends them, gets a connection to them, or is in a position of power over the child because they're a parent or a grandfather or an uncle, or they're somehow in control of some part of their lives. So yeah, they almost all know their abusers, and it's one of the ways we can sort of start looking, because it isn't a one size fits all thing, but when you know somebody who's done that to you, as opposed to being assaulted by a stranger. I mean, either way, trust is destroyed. It's going to be devastatingly hard to trust anyone, but particularly when it's a family member or a trusted family friend that's the abuser, it gets very confusing for people about the connection between love and trust and sex and power and how that plays out. So it's really particularly devastating, I think, when the people who are supposed to be loving you and taking care of you are the ones who are abusing you.
Oh my gosh. This is such an important topic. Healing from sexual trauma with my very special guest, highly trained medical professional, sex teacher and author Sherry Winston. When we come back, we're going to be talking about, what kinds of experiences are included in sexual trauma. Why should you be aware of it? Whether you have been a part of this or the victim of this or not, this is something that this show is not just for the victims. However, it is to help the victims. So what do you do when you know somebody that has been sexually traumatized? How do you take action? What can you do to help? And how does my very special guest today work with people to make sure that they are able to heal? Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show.
What if your your best friend could take a peek into the future, psychic, author, and cosmic coach Dougal Fraser is that friend. He's the queer guy with a third eye. From gossip to gurus, meditation to martinis, the Dougal Fraser Show is a call-in advice show that provides insights and information on creating your best life. Every Tuesday at 10, he'll take calls and talk about love, money, sex, pop culture, and give free advice. No topic is off limits. It's the Dougal Fraser Show.
Are you feeling stuck in a dead-end job, an unhappy relationship, or struggling with your health? Would you like to thrive in all areas of your life? Tricia Moore can help you find the answers you're looking for. A gifted, intuitive consultant, Tricia will help you find your passion and gain confidence to move ahead at record speed. Schedule a free 15-minute consultation. Call 206-618-8601 and visit TrishaMoore.com. Move into action, one intuitive step at a time.
Zeo 88 Zeolite, the natural and effective way to detox radiation, heavy metals, toxins, and pollutants from your body. High levels from Japan have reached the U.S. Remove these contaminants easily and safely by using Zeo 88 Zeolite pure powder form. Order now and receive a free month's supply with every order. Call 888-402-6779. That's 888-402-6779. Or visit zeoking.com.
Dr. Cindy Shriver cares about what you think of yourself. Dr. Cindy has helped thousands safely lose weight and will be leading a weight loss retreat in Costa Rica this July 16th. You will gently detox, eat clean, and finally stop emotional eating, utilizing Ayurvedic products for maximum health. It's possible to relax and release old behaviors and finally get that body you deserve in this five-star paradise setting. Contact yourtransformations.com or call 916-580-8799.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
We all want deeper, more intimate relationships. But how do we create successful relationships and maintain strong connections? Peter Kane has some real answers. Author of The Monogamy Challenge, Creating and Keeping Intimacy, Peter is one of the original breathworkers and relationship trainers with over 30 years' experience. Breathe, relax, or create intimacy and keep it thriving. Visit peterkane.org or contact Peter Kane at 425-802-2050.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5788. Now back to the program. Here's Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. Joining me here today is Sherry Winston. And boy, she's known worldwide for her work. I just want to mention for those of you out there that, you know, one of the books that, she has written, Women's Anatomy of Arousal, fabulous book, Secret Maps to Buried Pleasure. This book is an award-winning book. She is someone that does workshops all across the globe. And I want to make sure that you have information on how to find out more about her. Go to the website, intimateartscenter.com. That's arts with an S, intimateartscenter.com. Today, she is joining me at my request to talk about sexual trauma, healing from sexual trauma, what it means, and why we need to be shining the light on this now more than ever. Sherry, thank you so much for joining me today. It's a tough topic, but I'm glad we're taking it on.
I agree, and thank you for having me so we can talk about sexual trauma and go a little deeper, I think, than the media often does when it talks about it.
Well, let's go into what we're talking about here. We're talking about incest, we're talking about rape, we're talking about a number of different things here. And let's talk about some of those things and how people react to them. You know, not just the people that are abused, but often family members and friends and the shame around this. So, you know, let's go into some more detail about each of these.
Okay. So when we're talking about non-consensual sexual contact, incest certainly is one of the big ones we have to look at. And that's, you know, the sexual use of a child by someone who has more power than that child does. And as we already mentioned, it's usually someone the child knows. And this one often goes on, sometimes it's just one incident, but often it's a series. And for some children, this goes on for years and years. And it's often not discovered. And so people may remember that it happened to them as a child, or they may not remember it happened. There are people who do block it out. It's one of our mind's wonderful strategies for dealing with trauma is to just block it out, and particularly things that happen in early childhood. So some people may know what happened to them. Other people have a vague sense that something bad happened. Some people might have explicit memories. And for some people, the memories might be buried and come back when they start having consensual sex, perhaps. Or I used to be a midwife, so I would have women who would get memories returning to them when they were in the birth process, which is not a good time to be remembering those things. So incest is really challenging. I just want to say again, it happens to both girls and boys, and it creates, I think, not only a life pattern of checking out. I mean, one of the common ways people deal with trauma is to disassociate. So that habit or that pattern of disassociating when something unpleasant is going on is certainly common for a lot of people, but particularly with survivors of incest. It's one of their strategies for protecting themselves. So I think that's a topic all on its own in a sense, because there's this combination of love and trust for the perpetrator, since they usually know them, combined with violation and betrayal. And so for a lot of people, this affects all of their intimate relationships and really can create a pretty dysfunctional pattern for intimate relating. I mean, I think we get our patterning about our adult intimate relationships from when we're infants, toddlers, and children. So this one really can create a very challenging pattern for the person who's trying to heal that.
Mm-hmm. You know, family and friends, oftentimes we see or we become familiar with what goes on in these traumatic situations from television and quite frankly, from, you know, Hollywood. And but then there's the realization here, Sherry, that you actually know somebody that's been affected. And people around the person that has been traumatized, they just don't know how to behave. And often, because they don't know how to behave, they could possibly make the situation worse, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it's particularly difficult for partners of anyone who's experienced any kind of sexual trauma. I mean, what happens when we have that trauma is that pattern gets into our mind and our body. And so we will get these reactions that we really can't control and we don't want, and they keep happening. And so if we're partnered with somebody in that situation as the partner, we can easily, unfortunately, easily accidentally trigger those patterns. And so it's one of the extra challenges of, well, we all get lots of challenges, but this is the one with this, is that if you're partnering with somebody who's had a sexual trauma, you do need to be patient. You do need to be understanding. You need to be looking for the signs that perhaps that your partner has checked out or is getting triggered and angry and upset about things, and to start to kind of notice those patterns and start to communicate about it. I think that's one of the starting points, is to be able to talk about what happened. I've counseled people who've been partnered with somebody for years and never told their partner about when they were raped or how their, you know, a family member incested them or whatever has gone on. And so I always really like to start with, the first step is to be able to talk about it, to be able to talk about it with a therapist perhaps, and then to be able to talk about it with your partner so they have an understanding about what happened and what sorts of things are more likely to be triggers, and then to be a healing and helping partner. I mean, we can, one of the great things about intimate partners is we can help each other heal.
Mm-hmm.
Great opportunity for that here.
So let's talk about incest for a minute. And that's the thing that gets it's highly publicized. It's, you know, certainly we have seen it through exposure of the church and other just other bits of information that seem to make it more often to the headlines than other things. I read a startling statistic not too long ago, and it's an old statistic, which kind of disturbs me, but that an estimated 2.7 million women and close to 1 million men are victims of sexual violence each year. I was shocked by that. And yet at the same time, it's so prominent in our pop culture. Everything now from date rape to incest, of course. But let's talk about incest for a moment. How would you define incest for our listeners today?
Well, again, it involves a child. So it's technically anyone under the age of 18 years old, but usually it's younger children. And it's somebody who has power over that child and is using them in a sexual way. And so there's a range of actual behaviors that go on, from full-out penetration to fondling and all sorts of other inappropriate behaviors. But the key factor is that it's an adult who has power over the child and is taking advantage of that relationship, or in fact sometimes creating that relationship for the sole purpose of taking advantage of it and being sexual with them in some way. And those statistics that you mentioned don't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I wish they did, but they don't.
So, you know, one of the things that that we're going to talk about is, you know, how do you recognize it as a parent, and then what do you do about it? That's what today's show is about. You know, how do you recognize incest or sexual abuse? And then what do you do as the victim about it? Where do you go? Or what do you do if you're a family member and you suspect something's going on with your child? We're going to take that on today on the Dr. Pat Show. My very special guest, Sherry Winston's joining me here today. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to share some amazing ways that you can tune in, provide support and help yourself and another change their life after sexual trauma. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show.
Hey, Mary, I haven't seen you in so long. You look so different. What happened to your glasses? Did you have surgery?
Whoa.
I never noticed how blue your eyes are.
No, I didn't have surgery, and I don't have to wear glasses anymore. I searched the internet, and I found a website. It's called BetterEyesightNow.com. It is the best thing I have ever done. There's a program called Regaining Your Vision Naturally. And, oh, by the way, it helps reduce stress. You should check it out. And you might be able to get rid of your glasses. Go to BetterEyesightNow.com. Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller, 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
The In Search of the Miraculous 3-day workshop at the Omega Institute from July 29th to the 31st can change your life. Learn how to identify and erase your unconscious programs. Experience the quick and profound results of the revolutionary self-healing Dalian method. And fast forward your healing journey into consciousness with direct individual guidance from Mata. To register for this life-changing workshop with Eliza Mata Dalian at the Omega Institute, visit the calendar of events at dalianmethod.com.
8 out of 10 people suffer from chronic lower back pain. Are you one of them? Finally, a simple, inexpensive way you can stop the pain at home. It's called the Vacupractor. The Vacupractor's unique patented method uses vacuum pressure and leverage targeting only the lumbar region. You'll get guaranteed results or your money back, and it's far less than a trip to the doctor's office. Finally, a back pain treatment that works.
For more information about the Vacupractor or to order yours, call 800-676-9320 or visit vacupractor.com.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5788. Now back to the program. Here's Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. Today, we are taking on a topic that is so important to me personally and so many others, healing from sexual trauma. Joined today by highly trained medical professional, sex teacher and author Sherry Winston. Sherry, thank you for joining me here today. I mean, we are really getting down into it, and I want to make sure this becomes an educational program for people as well, so that we can, you know, get to the point where we're recognizing what's going on and can provide really good support and help. So what kind of signs, you know, should either sex partners of survivors look for or parents look for? What are some of the signs?
Well, anyone who's had this kind of unwanted sexual behavior perpetrated upon them is going to have some kinds of reactions, and it can be really different. I'll start with kids because, you know, we now know about childhood sexual abuse, so what should you be looking for as a parent in your child? And it's, first of all, big behavior change, any kind of radical behavior change. You want to start thinking about what might be causing that. If you see your child becoming very sexual when they weren't before, you start noticing they're acting out sexual things with their toys or their dolls or with other children, that could give you a heads up. But also don't be confused by the fact that children can be sexual. So just because they're being sexual doesn't mean that there's something going on, but it's a heads up. It's something to pay attention to. Particularly in sort of how they're sexual. There's sort of an innocent sexuality that children can have where they might start pleasuring themselves, you know, and enjoying rubbing up against their toy bunny or something, but that's really different from them playing out sexual behaviors that are more adult or having adult words or so forth. But it could either be, you could see your child getting anxious, depressed, withdrawn. Maybe they haven't wet their bed in years, but they start wetting their bed. If they don't want to go do something, you know, if they don't want to go to a particular group or a program or something, that might give you a little heads up. Now, I don't want to send people on witch hunts either. We don't want to
right.
be using adults of sexual molestation when it's not occurring. That's a devastating thing too. But we need to start a dialogue with our children and ideally before any of this goes on, where we start to teach our children from when they're very young that their body belongs to them, that there's comfortable touch and uncomfortable touch, and if anyone is ever touching them in an uncomfortable way, that let you know right away. And when we start giving our children these avenues, then we can prevent or at least catch something that's happening soon, because they're going to talk to us. The reason most children don't get help is because they feel shame about what's going on, and because the person who's abusing them has manipulated them into believing all sorts of things. The abusers tend to be really master manipulators of children and childhood fears. So the more we can empower our children, the more we can help them learn that their body is theirs and give them these routes to talking to us about anything that's going on, the less likely they're going to be victims, or they're going to be quiet victims.
So let's talk about what happens when sexual trauma goes not only undetected, but goes with an individual through their lives. I mean, you know, we talked about statistics, but, you know, what's being revealed right now is that we probably have an equal amount of people that have been sexually traumatized that just don't speak up, meaning they don't say anything, no one really knows about it, and they go through life, then they become adults. Or it happens to them as adults. Can we take a minute to talk about, you know, the progression of that and really move into what can people do about it? What is the healing process, Sherry?
Well, I think, as you said, there are some people who are aware of what's happened to them, either because it happened when they were older or because they haven't blocked it out. And then there's some people that their memories start to surface later. But
uh-huh.
the fact is that any of these experiences are going to be carried in your body-mind. And when you start to realize that there's some stuff there that needs healing, the first step is really about education. You know, information is power, and we need to start looking at what we can do with the things that happened to us. Even if we haven't been sexually abused, everyone's had some stuff happen to you in your life that wasn't great, and everyone's got some trauma. And I think one of the big keys to healing this is recognizing it's a mind-body issue, that talking about things is great, and it's an important part of it, but we also need to do embodied healing, particularly for people who've had sexual trauma, because the memories live in our body. The patterns live in our body, and whether we've responded to it by numbing out, some people respond to those kinds of sexual traumas by becoming hypersexual, perhaps in an unboundaried and unsafe way. Some people respond to it by becoming non-sexual and having big barriers between them and other people. But whatever direction it's gone in, the more we can start empowering ourselves about our sexuality and our pleasure, I think the better off we're going to be. You know, our culture doesn't do a particularly good job of educating people about sex to begin with.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's this very shallow perspective about sex. It's all about what you look like, and not about who you are and how you feel and what's going on inside. And we're kind of an anti-pleasure culture. I mean, we've got a very, again, I don't know, ambiguity about pleasure. We love pleasure, but we're Puritans and we should be working harder. You know, we're always working at things. So we've got this very mixed message about sex, about pleasure, and so I think that the personally courageous act that we all probably need to do at some level, but particularly for survivors, is about reclaiming our body,
yeah,
and reclaiming our pleasure.
Mm.
And so that's where I really think it starts.
In the process of doing that, the question came up, how does one go about it? I mean, because there are many people that, you know, have tried to work through sexual trauma, issues and effects by themselves, don't have great results. So what kind of therapies, what kinds of support are available for people? And let's just talk about incest first. Let's just stay with that.
Well, I will say the first thing is about getting help. I'm sure there are people who have healed these things by themselves. I'm not going to say that's impossible. But the vast majority of people I know who have truly gotten to the other side of this healing journey and are empowered in their sexuality and in their bodies have gotten lots of help. And that is one of the great things now that we in our culture are blessed with, which is lots of help, lots of resources. So the first thing I would say is, start reading the books, particularly the ones that focus on a mind-body approach. That would be what I would really look for in the resources. Also, there's great therapists and groups and counseling services out there. Find your allies. This is not a journey that most people make by themselves. So find your allies. Find the other people who have survived something similar. There is nothing, I think, more empowering than meeting somebody who's gone through a similar journey, that you're not the only one, particularly somebody who's a bit farther along on the road than you, who can say, hey, yeah, I was there, and this is what I did, and this is how I got here. And, again, some of the most powerful people I know who are doing healing work in this area, it's because they themselves have gone through sometimes really horrendous situations themselves and have gotten to the other side. So get help. You know, there's so much shame about this that there are a lot of people who don't even take that first step of getting help. But that would be the thing I would most encourage people to do.
Oh, thank you. Sherry Winston joining us here today. When we come back, we're going to talk about what happens between sex partners of survivors. How do you respond? How do you react? What does it mean to see someone actually having a triggered experience when making love? We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about one of the most important issues around this, especially for adults that have been sexually traumatized. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show.
If you've gone through a separation and feel disappointment, despair, loss of identity, and fear, there is a new pathway to joy for you. SoulWorks Coaching empowers you to go through this separation with soul and hope. So get ready to step into a new relationship with yourself and build a fabulous new life. Contact Monique today at 617-328-7113. That's 617-328-7113. And visit soulworkscoaching.com. Give yourself this gift of love today.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lucinda Messer. Are you having problems with raising your vitamin D levels? Well, you're not alone. Here are the top three reasons why it's difficult to raise them. Number one, you may not be taking enough for your weight. Most people require 1,000 units per 25 pounds of body weight. Number two, you may not be taking it with the proper kind of food. And number three, you may be experiencing what they call vitamin D resistance. To learn more about this, visit my website, PowerfulD.com. That's PowerfulD.com.
Is Egypt calling you? Are you dreaming of taking a spiritual pilgrimage to one of the most magical destinations on the planet? Being in Egypt immerses you in the realm of infinite possibilities. The veils are thinner, your connection to your full potential more accessible, and your heart opens more easily. Picture yourself meditating inside the Great Pyramid, exploring the sacred temples in exclusive visits, and cruising down the Nile on a luxurious sailing yacht. If you're interested in travel that transforms and rejuvenates you, join Dr. Friedemann Schaub and Danielle Rama Hoffman, author of The Temples of Light, for a spiritual and healing journey to Egypt this November. Call for more information, 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-6463. Or visit EgyptIsCalling.com. That's EgyptIsCalling.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5788. Now back to the program. Here's Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. For more information about us, and if you've missed any part of this show, go to drpatlive.com or transformationtalkradio.com. And for more information about my very special guest joining me here today, Sherry Winston, get a copy of her book, Woman's Anatomy of Arousal, or to find out about her work and how to contact her directly, go to her website, www.intimateartscenter.com. That's A-R-T-S center.com. IntimateArtsCenter.com. Sherry, thank you so much. This is seriously important topic. Thank you for joining me today.
Well, thanks for making the space for us to go deep and talk about this topic, because there's a lot that needs to get out there to people.
Absolutely. Now, this segment in particular is one that people don't touch, like with a 10-foot pole, if I might say. And the reason they don't is they don't know how to talk about it. And that is, you know, looking at the experience that happens between sexual partners. And I'm not just talking about heterosexual partners. I'm talking about sexual partners. And what happens during sex? What happens when someone is triggered? How to recognize it? And most importantly, what kind of reaction is the best?
Well, I just also want to appreciate that you mentioned that this is about all genders, all orientations. So this really is cross-the-board topic. So what happens when you're with a partner and your sweetie has had these kinds of experiences? First of all, you may not know. It may not be something your partner has shared with you. I've counseled couples and individuals who've revealed that they've been partnered sometimes for many, many years and never shared this information with their partner. So for starters, you may know your partner has a history. You may not know your partner has some kind of history. If you suspect that's the case, I would encourage you in a very loving way, creating a really safe space, to gently ask your partner if that's the case, if there's something that's gone on, and help them start to talk about it, because they may not want to. I mean, you know, in order to start the healing process after this kind of trauma, people have to be really willing to walk through that landscape and deal with the grief and the rage and the shame and the guilt and all of the stuff that comes up. So you really need to create a safe space for your partner to do that, particularly if they haven't really done it yet, if they haven't started that process. If you're with a partner who you don't know has had a sexually traumatic past, the things that might start cluing you in are some behaviors that go on. One of the common ones is disassociation. So when you're having sex with somebody, if they just seem to check out, like at a certain point they're just gone, they're not there, I would first encourage you to gently call them back in a gentle and loving way. You know, hey, honey, come on back. Where'd you go? But if that really seems to happen a lot, if they check out a lot, I would start this conversational ball rolling. If you have areas of your body, of their body that seem really numb, if they're really particular areas of the body where they're just like, oh, I just don't feel anything there, or they just really have no sensation, something has happened to cause them to, their body to armor itself there, and that could well be a history of some kind of sexual trauma that causes that numbing out. Of course, this could just manifest as anxiety, depression, low self-esteem. Some people act out their past by being sexual in a way that's not healthy in terms of having really poor boundaries about sex, perhaps having lots of unsafe sex, lots of partners in an indiscriminate way. So those kinds of behaviors might be cues that that's what's going on. And also a partner getting really freaked out at a particular moment. A certain position, they might suddenly they're freaking out and they might cry, they might get rageful, they might completely shut down, their arousal might completely shut off, they might lose their, the sexual energy might get lost. They might start crying. And so any of these behaviors can happen. And I'd say the most important response as a lover of somebody who's having that kind of behavior is to stay loving and compassionate, and to probably be okay with moving out of the sexual space in the sense of... I like to think that there are four languages of positive touch. There's nurturing touch, therapeutic touch, sensual touch, and erotic touch. Nurturing touch is the kind of touch we give to an infant. It's completely non-sexual. It's loving. It's accepting. It's the holding. It's the stroking the cheek or stroking the hair. It's rocking and patting. It's the way we hold babies. And so if your partner is having any of these sorts of reactions, the first thing I would remind you to do is calm yourself. Get centered in yourself. Take a couple of deep breaths. It's not about you. Don't take it personally. Don't make it mean they don't love you or that you're a bad lover, any of those things. Really recognize that they're having that reaction. And then I would offer nurturing energy and touch. Now, they may need to not be touched at all, and respect that if that's the case. But if they do respond to that, hold them and rock them. If they're crying like a baby, I mean, this is good for anybody anytime. If somebody is crying like a baby, treat them like a baby in the good sense, and hold them and rock them and pet them and make little noises and it's okay and I'm here and I'm going to, and let them know you're not taking it personally, right? Don't go off into, you don't love me anymore. Go into being a good mommy or daddy and give them that nurturing, parental, accepting, holding space. And here's the kind of important key. If you're doing that with them, don't insert anything sexual into that energy. Right? That's the same violation energy that they might have gotten if they were incested, where the mommy and daddy energy gets confused with sexual energy. So create a really safe space and let them know you're doing that. Let them know, it's all right, baby, I'm just going to be in parental mode with you and help you breathe through this and
exactly
feel the feelings, you know. And if that's what's happening, then I really would suggest also getting professional support so that you have places to go together and individually. Because if your partner is dealing with being on the healing journey, you are too. And you'll have your own feelings about that. You might get annoyed.
Oh, that's great advice.
Right? You might feel neglected, or you might feel like, wait, what about my needs? You know, so.
Yeah, take care of yourself and let your partner take care of him or herself.
Yeah.
Sherry, thank you so much for joining me here today. What a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous show. Thank you for taking this topic on. It is so, so important. I want to thank all of the listeners for tuning us in and turning us on. Sherry Winston, of course, the book is also, check this out, everybody, Women's Anatomy of Arousal. Thank you so much for tuning us in, turning us on. If you've missed any part of this show, you can check it out. Go to drpatlive.com or the Dr. Pat Show or Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you, Sherry, so much.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. We'll see you next time on the show.
Thank you for listening to The Dr. Pat Show, radio to thrive by. To contact Dr. Pat, visit thedrpatshow.com. Tune in next Thursday for another dynamic hour of The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile.